I don't know about you, but see, I have a struggle in my life that I turn my focus a lot to what God has done in the past. And sometimes I find myself living there. I know. Y'all don't do that. I do. Y'all probably not going to be the crowd. Y'all can go ahead and leave. Whoever needs to stay, you stay, because what I'm talking about right now isn't fitting everybody's little table of food. So, but I found myself getting caught up in what God done for me in the past that I lose focus. Never mind. I lose hope of what he'll do in tomorrow. I want to break bread. But I've struggled with this all week. I've struggled with it all week. It's not that I want to divide myself from or leave or deny what God has done in the past. It's not that I want to walk away from that. I just don't want my life being hung. I don't want to be kept in what God has done. I want to live in what God is wanting to do. This is going to be hard for me to communicate this with you this morning. It's going to be complicated. I've got so much. Y'all better be careful. Good morning. Here, let me put this in here so Tommy don't get mad. He's not here, but I guarantee you he'll. Why don't you leave a tracker in your pocket? Y'all all right this morning?
Yes.
How many of you came with an expectation of what God wants to do in your life today? Man, I just want to preach. I don't even know if we've got... Do we have any announcements that's worth announcing? Same old, same old. Keep passing. Keep passing, keep passing. Tithes and offerings at the altar. Goodbye. That's it for that. All right, we'll get you... Hey, get you a little 2 minute in there. Get you 2 seconds in. We're done. Right? Michelle. I had to get on Michelle earlier. She had women's wrapped in the back. I said, listen, and she was taught Ephesians 2:20. I didn't even look that up yet. 3:20. Sorry, excuse me. What is Ephesians 3:20, Michelle? Girl! Maybe I should have sat down back there and listened, because it's going to line up with some of what I've got. But I had to walk back and I said, Michelle, listen, you've got to stop preaching to people before they get preached to. They go to sleep on me. They get full back there with you and then they go to sleep on me. I said, you got to stop. But now that I know Ephesians 3:20, I'm sure that might just, we'll spit it out. We'll have it again before it's over with. I want to do something just out of the norm. Give me a middle row of lights. We'll just do it out of the norm. Don't shy away from the light ever. I just want to talk to you and preach to you and teach you and give your spirit some food this morning. And You know, God even talked to Job about this. Even though that your life thus far has been weakened, or it's been in want, it's going to be bigger and better. It's going to be more. Aren't you tired of going through a week? And I find myself even doing this on Sunday. Man, tomorrow's Monday. Aren't you tired of gauging what is going to happen in your life based on what's already happened? How many of you find yourself having a bad day because of a bad moment? Your marriage is on a downhill slope because of a circumstance. Your relationship with God is hung your relationship with God, it's hung in a tasteless moment. I'll give you scripture. Taste and see that He is good. Your relationship with God now is based on the tasteless moment, where God wasn't there when you expected Him to be there in the manner in which you wanted. That's your little footnote, because you need it. If I don't give it to you, you go, well, that's not scriptural. You better get past what was and get focused on what's to be. Speak those things that aren't as if they... We're not even going to get into praise and worship yet. We have walked long enough on yesterday's provisions. Let me read it to them. Give me the scripture. I don't care if you're live or not. Just give me a scripture. Tommy would get excited about that, but thank God he's gone this week. Because I... Exodus chapter 16, I'm going to start it. This is verse 11. I mean, there's more before that and there's more after that. I just give me a moment to work with this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Are y'all okay to receive word now, or do you have to get lathered up? Do you need the smoke and the mirrors to get excited about being in the kingdom of God? Is that all right? Be prepared in season. Well, that's got something to do with it. See, you're tied up. You're tied up because somebody preached it to you that way, and that's where you... Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat. And now this is after the Israelites have come out, just like you and I. God has delivered them from Egypt, has delivered them from bondage, and they still find a way to complain. Yep. Come on. Yeah. And God said, okay, Moses, just wait a minute. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for taking care of me when they won't. Yeah. Don't feel no condemnation off of that. I'm just being thankful. I'm being grateful that God is with me when you aren't. That's right. That God is carrying me when you're too tired. That's right. That God will not forsake me when you will. Yeah. Y'all just can't, you can't be thankful. You get mad when I'm thankful. You get in your feelings when I'm grateful. No. See, when you won't be there for me, He will. Amen. So I've got to be able to forsake all. That's even you. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. I love my mama. I love her. And my mama set me some good foundations in life. But you know what I've not been able to make myself do? Live off of yesterday's provision. Never mind. I love her. I do. And mama, I love you. I do. But there's... when we minimize God to the point that we think all that He has done is all that He'll ever do, our life will be a huge disappointment. Yes. Well, maybe not a huge disappointment, because some of you are still hung in that and you're okay with it. I'm getting to the text. Hang on. It may not be that it's a huge disappointment, but it's a life less lived. Your life could be much better than it is. If you... oh. All right. I've got to do this because you're not following me, because my heart is already at the end of Scripture and you're still getting it at the beginning. He said, Moses, I've already heard their complaints. I've already heard them whining and moaning and groaning. And this is what I want you to tell the people. I've already heard them. I'm going to take care of you because I'm tired of them beating you down. Preach to me, Holy Spirit. At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quail came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children... have you ever walked out of your house in the first frost and you just look on the ground and... God's caught me off guard sometimes, and I've walked out and I've seen it, and I just get ministered to. There's times I've sat on the front porch, and I begin to look at trees that appear to be dead, and God begins to minister to me as I sit on the step. All I want to do was just get out of the chaos inside the house. I just wanted to go on the front. I wasn't going out there for anything, and God just began to speak. God, I pray you speak to your people. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Woo! Boy, I just got hit. With every provision will come instruction. Maybe this is why we as people of God can't appreciate the blessings because we skip the instruction. Oh, we'll open up to you in a minute. Just, whoo, God, don't let me miss instructions. This is the thing with which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather according to each one's need. One omer for each person. According to the number of persons. I should have researched the omer. Anybody know what omer is? What's omer? Is that just a pot? Is that a handful? Is it a bag full? Anybody know? Come on, you Bible scholars. Well, all right. Then I don't feel so bad. What?
A dry measurement.
How much? What is it?
A tenth part of a...
ephod?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Is that really what it is? What is ephod then? What is that? Hey, we're just going to have Wednesday teaching on a Sunday morning. I want you to get some of this. If you walk away here this morning unfed, your fault. Okay. A little over a bushel. One tenth. One tenth of a little of a bushel. Is that what it is? So it's one tenth of a bushel. Girl, don't get me preaching on one-tenth. We're not trying to go there right now. Okay, so you know what it is. It's one-tenth of a bushel. I don't know. You figure that measurement. Is that one apple? A bushel? One? It's just enough. Never mind. No. Oh, it's more than enough. Just hang on. A what? Okay, so... okay. All right, so we're going to go with this. We're going to go with this, that it's one omer. See, now y'all know how I study. What is the omer? I should have, but I wasn't interested in that this morning. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel... oh, boy, there's another shot. Men. Whew. It's your response. Whew. It's your responsibility. To carry the blessings of God into your home. Come, oh, stop. See, y'all refuse to walk with me this morning. I love walking through His Word because there's always something. The women didn't go and gather. This was not the woman's responsibility. This was not the children's responsibility. When you see things happening in the Old Testament like this in Hebrew times, in the Hebrew, what's the word I'm looking for? Tradition, fashion. It was the man. God would speak to the men. God would. The man carried the responsibility. So again, this instruction is being given to the man. Let every man take for those who were in his tent. Then the children of Israel, y'all like responsibility, men? Stepping under the mantle of husbandry. Carrying the responsibility of everything that pertains to your home. Just, men, just come and have a cup of coffee with me for a minute. Just talk to me. This isn't about blaming why something's not going your way. Wives, y'all ought to be all amen, Pastor. Y'all ought to be amening me down because I'm working. I am working on the head of your home. Humble. The wife. They're kind. They're nice.
Super nice.
Men, we can't, this has nothing to do with the message. Men, we can't walk into our home pointing fingers. Boy, when we walk into our homes, order. Y'all not listening. Charlie, they better pay attention this morning. They don't understand about the big families. See, there's something about the matriarch, not the matriarch, the patriarch. There's something about the patriarch walking into the room. Well, there's something about the matriarch walking into the room. Oh. But when the patriarch walks in the room, order. Order should automatically take place. Oh, women, if you're struggling with your man, I'm going to help you out. If you're struggling with your man, maybe you should honor him differently. Are we going to marriage ministry? We're going to do... How many weeks we got left in this month? It just started? So is this the first Sunday of this month? Lord bless us. We might just make this family month. I can't skip this. But I'm going to help you while I'm in it. This is a prequel. So wives, your husbands that choose not to come, encourage them to come. Wives, those husbands that have no choice but not come, pray for them as you come.
Yes.
We're going to minister to families this month.
Amen.
Oh, you amen me now, but you hate me at the end of the month. Y'all know I'm not a softball player. I'm not going to give you a soft pitch. All right. Get back to it, Pastor. Y'all pray for me this morning. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over. And he who gathered little had no lack.
Amen. Amen.
Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. I didn't know this was so rich. Stop wasting God's blessings. Notwithstanding, basically, not listening, disobedient, disregarding, they did not heed Moses. But some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. I'll keep reading. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning, and Moses commanded, and they did not, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. I'm going to stop there. Father, this morning, we're kind of rushing into this thing. We didn't take time to get their emotions full of song and smoke and mirrors. We're wanting to feed. This is going to be heavy food this morning. So they pulled up to the table. Holy Spirit, let's feed. Use me. Hide me. Keep your word pure. Let it penetrate the hearts. Let those who have ears hear. Open the minds. And Father, everything that we do and everything that should happen this morning, may it magnify your kingdom and your name. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday's provisions. Man, there's nothing like getting. I'm not a roll eater. I don't eat rolls. I'm not much on the bread. I mean, I eat bread. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not the bread fanatic, as my wife. And some of the other women in our family. I'm not going to point you out. But there is nothing, there's no, oh, banana nut bread now? There is nothing better than getting that directly out the oven. There's something about having a fresh loaf. Lord have mercy. There's nothing like a fresh Krispy Kreme donut when the hot sign is on. I think that's manna. There's just some things in life that just, they hit to the core when it's the freshest. Are you with me? See, there are some things, now I'll give it to you. There are some things like chili or lasagna or spaghetti that are almost better than the next day than they were the previous day. But nonetheless, just track with me for a minute. There are just some things in life that mean more, that have an impact more, that hit more when it's fresh. Preach, preacher. That's just, see, some of y'all struggling in your marriage because it's been around for a while. It's because you've been living off of yesterday's provision. Oh, stick. Boy, I got to save some of this for next Sunday. There's just some things in life, man, I don't want it reheated. There's just some things I don't like about leftovers. See, after a while, man, if you didn't, you know, if you didn't have to reheat brown beans over the next day to have dinner, they wouldn't understand. And see, when you had to reheat it like the third day, well, then you become creative. You become creative. You start having the turkey hash. Oh, I got the right crowd this morning, baby. You start cooking up potato cakes. Refried beans. Come on, y'all with me? We begin to get creative. Why? Because there is something about leftovers that if it's something that is continuous, it begins to lose its flavor. It begins to lose its taste. It begins to go bad. Isn't this something similar to our spiritual? Listen, don't get me wrong, and don't, man, y'all start hating on me before the end of the service, I'm kicking every one of you in the shin. Don't start hating on me yet. There is something about living off of God's previous blessings. His provisions of yesterday, in most cases, was meant for that day. I wrote this down. I'll just read this to you real quick. Then I might come back. I don't know. Manna, it's a supernatural provision. It's a daily provision. It's a sufficient provision. And it's a consistent provision. Okay. We get this manna in that season that we need it the most. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Even when you are ungrateful, God's provision, y'all ain't with me. You've been ungrateful? One day this week you was ungrateful. There was a day this week that you didn't even acknowledge God in all. Not at all, in all. He says, lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all. In our spiritual self, we find ourselves living on yesterday's provision. And because it was so supernatural, it caused us to rock back on our heels and say, what is it? And it had such an influence at that time. It caught us at the right time. That it caught our attention and it caught our focus. And all we can think about, all we can talk about is yesterday's provision. Boy, how God showed up last year on December the 12th. Okay, I'm going to help mature you this morning. You ready to take a big bite? If all you're doing is living off of the last miracle of God, you've missed the next one. We begin to stay there. Now, there's nothing wrong with your testimony. And you're to share your testimony, but stop living the test. God provided for you yesterday. He gave you exactly what you needed. He didn't give you more than you needed, and he definitely didn't give you less than you needed. His provision was supernatural, and it was exact. And we want to live off of yesterday's provision. We think that today's actions should be dictated by yesterday's fulfillment. It's not what God was trying to do here. God was training a people. Come on, come on. Come on, Holy Spirit. God was training a people. He was training a people that their reliance not be on what they have, but their reliance be in the hope. You Man, that just went shoop. His reliance, he wanted their reliance to be on the hope of him. Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. If you don't have hope, you can't produce faith. Come on, come on. God is training a people to hope in tomorrow. To hope not tomorrow, but tomorrow. That His provision will be there tomorrow just as it was today. We have gotten sidetracked. The church has become complacent. Right now you ought to thank God for some of your ancestors, because that's where you're still living. That's the only thread that is even keeping you close to God, if close is a word at this point in your faith walk. Because what we do, we ride on the skirt tails of what was. Oh, I hear you talking. Well, that's not what we used to do, man. Back in the good old days, Michelle. I remember. Man, I remember when we used to get and just wail at the altar. We would labor at the altar. I remember, and God's going, okay, that was yesterday's provision. All right, let me try to help you out again. His intention is to take us from glory. So do you think the second glory is the same as the first? He said, no, your latter days will be greater than your former days. So God is always, God's a God of increase. Come on, church. His provision at that moment is for that moment. You're going to need provision tomorrow. He doesn't want you living on yesterday's for tomorrow. I'm sorry, I'm a little loud this morning. I'm working up a sweat and I ain't got 5 minutes in it. We use yesterday's provision in hopes for fuel for today. And God is showing us, even in Scripture, that He doesn't want you taking yesterday's provision into tomorrow. Because when tomorrow comes, it's a whole new day. Some of us rejoice, some of us just went. It's a brand new day. And he said, matter of fact, he put it like this: don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. And he is saying right now in Scripture, and I'm saying to you right now, is this: I've got the provision for today, and I have your provision for tomorrow. Quit stressing tomorrow. Enjoy your blessing today. Enjoy your blessing at the moment. Tomorrow is going to have to be different. All right, I got you. It wasn't different, Pastor. It was the manna. It was manna, but it was fresh every day. What happens when we live in yesterday's provision? We begin to lose the taste. Oh, whoa, okay, Holy Spirit. We begin to lose our anticipation of what tomorrow will bring. Because we're hung up in what yesterday has brought. Now, I'm not saying you can't live on yesterday's provision. If you're interested in eating worms, you can do that. And if you're interested in eating stinky food, you can do that. But living on that, eventually, this is what it does. This is what it does. It causes our hearts to faint. Because we begin losing the taste. Because life now seems redundant. I just poked about 90%. Because we go, tomorrow? Because you're still living off of yesterday. You don't think there's anything fresh tomorrow, because everything in the past week has been tasting like that yesterday provision 2 weeks ago. And it's just the same. Come on, it's the same thing when you go to your refrigerator. And honey, what's for dinner? It's in the pot. Sweetheart, that's got Tuesday written on it of 2023. It's better with age. We begin to lose our taste. Oh, are you losing your taste of God? Are you beginning to feel as though God isn't going to be able to supply a provision for you tomorrow that will excite you just like the provision did yesterday? You begin to lose your taste. Your heart begins to wane in its faith. Your faith begins to lose its zeal for the Lord. Because after all, what He supplied is what I've been living on. Day after day. After day. And it's the same old, same old day after day after day. The excitement and the anticipation of God showing up in the morning to wake you up. I wish I knew some of the old hymns. He woke me up this morning and got me on my way. I know just a couple words of them, and that's it. But we ought to be grateful that today is today. Because after all, His mercies are renewed. It was a supernatural provision. God wants us to understand that anything and everything that we will ever need, He provides. You find later in Scripture that He's not only the provider. You find later in Scripture as you study that He is our provision. That's why He said taste and see. If you will not eat of my flesh or drink of my blood, you have no part in me. That we find that God becomes not just our provider, but God becomes our provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Take and eat. See, you don't know. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. You're not getting it this morning. You don't understand it yet because you're still hung up in yesterday's provision and it's begun to stink. The worms are starting to creep out. You're beginning to lose your zeal. You don't even want to come to church anymore. I mean, after all, it's just going to be a big mouth preacher. Come on. I'm holding true to that one. Preach! That's what the preachers in the day were. They were the ones in the street. They were proclaiming the gospel. They were yelling. They were screaming at people, letting them know that Christ is the way. Preacher! You might have a long ride this evening. It was supernatural. It was God ordained. It was God provoked. It was God given. It was God sustained. Every day for some 40 years, they would wake. It's hard to sleep this morning, ain't it, baby girl? Pastor got a big mouth this morning. Well, glory. Every day, he provided. Every day, he gave. Don't you think that after 40 years, stop, pause, rewind, play. Wouldn't you think that after 40 years, they would get the idea? That they would come to an understanding that everything comes from God. But they, Moses, I got the modern day Israelites. Stiff necks. You hear the word?
Yes.
Some of you even witnessed, boy, that was God all over that. And then you go and live as if nothing happened. Stiff-necked people. It's rebellious people. Stiff-necked. It's when the oxen stiffens his neck up in the, and he won't let you turn. That's what that is, rebellious people. You hear the word. You know the word. Some of you know it better than I do. Probably most of you. And you know that, but you won't live it. Because of the fear of surrender. We like the Lord in this part of the house. See, it's like when you come to my house, there's only a certain room that I'm going to let you stay in. Don't get up wandering. Where you going? Oh, I was just looking at that. Don't you come back in here. All you need to see is right in here where we at. That's how we treat God. Hey, Holy Spirit, what are you? You're not even supposed to be over there. Y'all ain't never been kicked. You ain't never had the Holy Spirit kick you and go, hey, what are you doing? You go, well, hey, you ain't even supposed to be over there. I ain't give that up yet. It's a daily provision. Every day, 40 years. You would think that they would get the idea that, man, that was good today. I wonder if tomorrow's going to be better. I hope tomorrow is better than today. It's daily. It was daily with the exception of the sixth day. I said, uh-oh. I can't put this together then. This ain't going to work. He said, because I know there's going to be seasons in your life that you're going to need extra to get you through the next day. But I don't want you living on that to get you through the rest of your life. See, it's one thing to sulk on a Tuesday after a horrible Monday. But on Wednesday, man, if I worried about yesterday keeping me for today and tomorrow, how horrible. Because over time, you're going to lose the taste. See, God wants you to take a taste every day and see that He's good. Every day. That means when everybody acting a fool, you take a taste of Him. When your children won't listen, you take a taste of Him. Parents, you with me? This is coming next week. If any parent doesn't come next week, I'm kicking you out. Just kicking you out. It's a sufficient provision. It's enough to get you through. It's enough to take care of you for the moment. And if He'd done it yesterday, why? Because He is the same. He never changes. We change. Sometimes for the bad. Sometimes for the good. Let me give you this little tidbit. I come back to my phone. This is very unorthodox for y'all, isn't it? Pastor up there reading Facebook during Sunday service. No, you were. Y'all don't think I see that? Y'all don't think I see you? Come on. You ain't taking no notes. Try me. I'm going to walk by you one day and go, hey, what'd you just like on Facebook? Some of you might be swiping right. Y'all ain't know the pastor knew anything about it. We must come into a new wineskin. We must come in with a refreshed hope. We should come in a vessel of expectation. See, if all you done this morning was come just to see if your friends was here or what they were wearing, or so you could talk about this person or that person, or see my little great grandbaby. He is great, 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 great. He's great and even greater. But if y'all just come to see him, why am I up here sweating? Go back here and see the baby and go home. But when you come with an expectation that God's fixing to feed you, that God's getting ready to give you this day our daily bread, when you come with the expectation that, God, I hope that you spoke to Pastor and that he gives me food that will provoke me to change. But you'll go home and you'll live like you always lived. You'll do it like you always done it. Living off of yesterday. God was preparing a people. If I can get you to trust me that tomorrow I will provide, when it comes time for tomorrow, your expectations are bigger and I can put more in. You present me with a new wineskin, I can pour more out. But if you come shut up, in your yesterday. Come on. I mean the old-time gospel preaching. The hellfire and damnation that everybody, about 70% of y'all got saved off of. You got saved off of the fear of going to hell. So you ran to the altar and said, Jesus, forgive me. You repeated the prayer after the pastor, right? Yep. It wasn't your heart's prayer. Yeah. Yeah. So you've lived a life in a state of bondage. Yesterday's provision. God's trying to get you to grow today. Yeah. Well, my Baptist roots. Well, I'm sorry. If that's what you want to keep living on. Well, my Methodist root. Well, keep living on. Well, my Catholic root. Well, stay in your Catholic. Well, listen, I ain't here to judge you on denomination. I'm here to judge you on religion. Yeah. Your religion does not gain you access with the relationship of the Almighty. Jesus said, I am the only way. The only way you're going to get to Daddy is through me. It's a personal relationship. Not a purposed orthodoxy. Not some organizational pamphlets. But we're still living off of that, and we wonder why we're so bored in church. Yeah. We wonder why we leave feeling as empty as we did as we came. Because what you were looking for were 3 points and a poem. Yeah. Yep. And Big Mouth messed all that up. He ain't got no 3 points, and he definitely ain't got no poems. He just give it to me straight and raw. You ain't get no praise and worship yet. I mean, I get judged even how I do it. Judgmental. I wonder how many of us are still hanging out there. We have gotten to a place of our Christendom that it's become boring. I'm sorry. He that drinketh this water will thirst again. He that drinketh the water that I provide. But we found out the other day that that's a continual drink. And it goes right in line with it. Jesus, I love you. It goes right in line with today. Yeah. If it's not a continual thing with him, how do you expect to grow? Yeah. See, just because it rained one day, that tree won't survive off of that one rain. So why do you think you're going to survive off coming to Sunday school? You want to give God 2 hours of your time, because you got a long-winded pastor. You give God 2 hours of your time a week. I just scared a bunch of people off that was thinking about coming to Sunday service because they think it's too. It's not 2 hours of preaching on Sunday. I'm saying Sunday 1 hour and Wednesday 1 hour, and I'm pretty close to that. And you expect to be full. You want to know why you won't get out of your seat and come and praise the Lord at the altar and get up in the mix of other people that are worshiping? You want to know why you won't do that? Because you don't do it at home. How you know? Oh, boy. You should be coming here full to pour out. Amen. Forsake not the gathering of one another, that you may edify one another, lift one another up. Yes. But you want to come and make me. Man, how many of you have gone to a gas station, they come out and got a gas attendant? Does somebody fill your tank up when you go get gas now? Man, you can't even get somebody to check your groceries out anymore. So I know ain't nobody standing by the gas pump unless it's your daddy. I don't want my wife being that spoiled where she won't put gas in it. One day she's going to have to do it without me. I'm raising her in the way that she should go. I did last week.
Yeah.
I don't make it a habit. But you want me to be your gas attendant? How many of you sit back? Well, don't do this because you probably didn't even think about church until yesterday. How many of you sat yesterday? I said, man, I hope pastor's got a word for tomorrow. Anybody? Y'all didn't even do that? See what I mean? See what I mean about your expectation? How many of you prayed for me during the week? God, that your spirit would keep his mind and his heart so that he doesn't get distracted, so that he can hear clearly, so that he will get the word, so that he can feed your people. When you come to church, you drive your little vehicle self up here, and you're demanding. I need high test. Oh, I'll do the 88. Oh, I need diesel. You got any 93? I take 93. That's for the Harley riders. We're a little greedy. Click, 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 click. Lift the hose up. Somebody's done that before. Girl, don't tell on yourself up in church. Great day. Are y'all with me? Do you understand what I'm telling you this morning? You can't come up here and expect the gas attendant to fill your tank. Why don't you fill your tank?
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Just let me top it off.
That's right.
You would be surprised if you got in study.
Come on.
And then when I preached, I was preaching what you studied.
That's right.
And you go.
Confirmation.
That's right. You start going, man. Just follow along. Just follow along. Boy, you just like the Israelites. You just like them. Why worry about it? I mean, it's like pastor's in my living room anyway when he starts talking. I got some of you going to the house, going to your prayer closets and moving clothes, looking to see if there's a window or a hole, because you go, ain't no way he knew any of that. It wasn't. God trying to help you. But again, you like the stiff necks. God can speak directly to you, and you walk out of here and you do the exact same thing and you come back blaming God, or you just give up on God because God won't change me. There are times that laying on of hands and anointing you with oil and praying over you is not what you need. There are times in your life that there is some discipline that is needed on your behalf to stand true on God's word and wait on the Lord. That means applying His word to your life. Be consistent. Be disciplined. But you waiting on the nice little plate. God, it wasn't supposed to go this way. I was excited about this manna. One day y'all gonna get old too. Boy, I just heard the Sons of Thunder. I just heard the Sons of Thunder. God, you want me to pray fire down and just burn them up? No. You're the wrong spirit. If you will get into the Bible, I'm telling you right now, it would be the joy of your life. How many of you have got a certain show that you like to watch? Anybody? Don't lie in church because you get burnt up. Y'all remember that, right? So there's a certain show that you like to watch on television. I promise you, if you would substitute that show and read the word, he'll take you down trips that show ain't never talked to you about. And there is everything in here. There's drama, there's romance, there's even, there's incest in there, there's murder. I mean, there's stuff in here. There's prostitutes in here, deception, betrayal. I mean, you ain't gonna get that on television. Not like that. Because this right here will set you free. The television is holding you captive. Let me get my glasses back on. Behave yourself. Isaiah 43:18 says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Can you not see it? Will you not see it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, "Say not," this is half of your problem. "Say not, why were the former days better than these?" Come on, Christian. Y'all with me? That wasn't me. That was scripture. That was scripture. But what have we said? Come on, we've said it. I know y'all have said it. We all have said it. Man, I remember going to church and it was just rah! I mean, it was just crazy. I mean, the glory of God fell, and I mean, they was praying, and we stayed up until 1 o'clock in the morning, and we had God's presence, and we just don't see that today. Say not. Why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. That scripture. Did I give y'all the Ecclesiastes 7:10 just in case you think I'm lying to you? But we'll sit around kitchen tables and we'll talk about the good old days and how church used to be. man, I remember when we was going to church, man, I mean the church would just be packed with people. Mm-hmm. And what you didn't understand, some of those times, everything that you seen that you thought was God wasn't God. It was the emotional characteristic of mankind. Y'all not gonna follow me. Listen, I'm not gonna downplay it, and I'm not gonna say any of it. I'm just. How do I do this now, Holy Spirit? You got me in it. Each one of us were made beautifully and fearfully. But we are also made individually. No two alike. We all carry different emotional characteristics. And when the Holy Spirit decides that He is going to arrest you because you've opened yourself up, you've actually, because y'all do know that the Holy Spirit ain't going to jump all up on you and drag you to the altar.
Yeah. Come on.
Those of you that want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, which comes by Jesus, not by me. Make some people, the old time people, they could get mad right here, because they used to think you had to be laying on of hands, and the pastor had to. So that's what y'all was just cussing in tongues. You just did, because he slapped you and you didn't like it. Jesus baptizes you. That's scriptural. Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, not the preacher. But when we go and we are humbled before our King, and we have surrendered ourselves, body, soul, and spirit, and the Holy Spirit decides now's the time, and He arrests you, every one of you are going to act differently under the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you do not know how to respond. Yeah. Well, Pastor, can you teach me how to respond? Nope. Not my job. That's why I say you're free to worship here. Some of you might get up here and dance, and some going to shake. Some might fall down. Some might run around. I don't know what you're going to do. I just pray that it's the Lord. And if it ain't, I won't mean to embarrass you, but I will calm you down. Why? Because we're not going to get all up in Revelation to where it starts talking about Thyatira and said, because you have tolerated the Jezebel spirit. I won't tolerate. See, that's why I'm different. I love you. I choke you on the way out, but I love you. Because I'm not going to deal with that. The ecclesia cannot tolerate a Jezebel spirit that comes against the authority of God in the house of God or anywhere else that God's hands on. So these are why I teach some things that I teach, and this is why I will talk to you pretty quickly if I think that you have stepped out. Not trying to offend you, trying to restore you. Because I love you. But everybody will act different under the power of God. Because we just don't know how to. I mean, that's a lot of power. He flick a finger, and Satan and all his little imps went with him. Pow! Gone! That's a lot of power. And you say, God, we want your glory. No, you better be careful. We think the glory just brings blessing, and it does. But it also brings judgment. Are you willing to die? We better be careful what we're asking for and in the manner in which we ask. God is all powerful, people. He didn't wait for me to get here this morning to ask him or give him permission to do what he wanted to do. He'd been working on that all week. On me. Hey, you gonna let me do what I want to do, right? Well, I mean, I got a couple of points. I'm scared that the church has rested in yesterday's provisions. God's wanting to pour out a new wine. See, there was some by YouTube, by Facebook. See, there's something. I do that on purpose. If they want to hear the rest of it, they come. I want to get them in here with like-minded people. Let them sit under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and watch them wiggle in their seat. Y'all don't think I know what's going on when you start to squirm and shift. It ain't nothing to... Never mind. Never mind. Where was I going? God delivered the Israelites to take them into the promised land. I'm almost done. To take them into the promised land. He provided for them for those 40 years in all their needs. Even though they were rebellious and stiff-necked, he provided for them in all their needs. And he said, I'm going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. Watch this. He says, it's not like Egypt that I delivered you from, where you prepared your own way. It wasn't, it's worded more of where you drug your foot and planted vegetable gardens. Right. See, they would plant their vegetable gardens and take their heel of their foot and drag trenches in plowed ground so that water irrigated their little gardens. He says, I'm taking you to a place that is flowing with milk and honey, not vegetables. I'm taking you to a place where I've already provided. I'm taking you into a place to where I will give you. I will sustain you and I will take care of you. We can't do this on our own. I don't want to keep eating off of yesterday. Yeah. These people haven't tasted that type of milk and honey. Oh, okay, let me give you this. For those 40 years, God was cleansing their palate. You've been wondering why you've been planted at this church. Can I offer up an idea? Maybe it's because he's cleansing your palate. You've been eating of yesterday's provisions for years. Pastor just happened to give you a spoonful of honey and you went, man, no. Some of you scratch your head and go home and study. Some of you study with the intention of proving me wrong. Or some study in hopes of proving me wrong. And all God is trying to do is get you to rely on tomorrow's provision. You think God's simple-minded. You think if there's no tongues and interpretation, that God's not present. And you have no idea that the one sitting beside you was being tormented by suicide thoughts. And they were set free because they were consistent. This is why the younger Christian, not age-wise, but younger, I can't say immature Christian because most of the church is immature Christian. That ain't what I said. Paul said that. Paul said, by now all of you should be teachers. But you're still hung up on the milk. You're not wanting the food. You become, you have irritable bowel syndrome because of the meat. You've been a vegetarian all your life. That's what they, never mind. Forgot where I was going. Where was I at? That's why the baby Christian, the young Christian, is so full of zeal and excitement. Because they just tasted manna for the first time. And they running on a full tank of gas. And they are so excited. Can I take you down your path when you first got saved? Boy, the elders and the pastors used to have to turn the lights out to kick you out of the church because everybody wanted to go home. But you was just so, you was so spun up, man. It's like you done, never mind.
Donuts.
But you, donuts.
Yeah, a lot of donuts.
Maple.
Bacon.
Donuts. But they're so excited, man. They don't even want to go home. They want to stay. And by the time you get here, they already been here. They running around the church and they trying to make that, and it's not even their job. And they just ready to do anything and everything they can do in the church because they want to do it for God, and they can't wait. They can't wait for the pastor to start preaching and teaching again because they just know that they're getting ready to taste manna for today. And they are so excited, and then they sit beside you. They sitting in their seat and they're going, Craig, God. Amen, Pastor. Yes, amen, preacher. Hey, amen, preacher. Yes. And you're going, just settle down. It'll be okay. Just hold on. He's almost done, sweetheart. Just relax. Here, you want to drink my water? Just relax. Are they out there? They run up to you. Come on, Holy Spirit, teach. They come running up to you. They've been saved for a week. Been saved for a week. And they run up to you and go, the Lord wants me to give you something. And you go, well, that's nice. What? And they actually minister a word. And you go, bless your heart. And you go on home. Forget those former things. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. Will you see it? And you just missed it. Because you've been saved for 15 years. I'm a deacon. You got a word from me. I'm a deacon. Okay, I'm coming. I'm coming now. Steel fist, it's coming. It's going to get you right here. Just go like this. It's coming. Somebody will give you a word, and you'll go, well, Lord ain't told me that. You forgot. You forgot that a donkey you can't receive. Listen, I'm not telling you that if I don't care if they've been a saint for 40 years. If they come and tell you to change your life and drop everything you got and wrap it up and get gone, you better make sure. You better go to your closet. You better be going, Lord, he'll fleece. Make it wet on that side. Maybe a pipe leaked in the house. And then you may say, here, make it wet over there and not over here. You better be throwing your fleece. Don't be running at every word given. Do you not know that the enemy knows about your life too? Oh, you don't think he can capture you with that? You don't think he's good enough? This dude led praise and worship in heaven. Based on scripture. He knows how to go up to heaven and back down to earth. You ain't figured how to get away from earth yet. But he got... Are y'all following me? I know I said goodbye 20 minutes ago. I lost you, didn't I? I'm sorry. We need that zeal back. We need to be willing to go and pray for that one that is sick. No, you like it like this. I'll be praying for you. Hey, what are we eating for chicken? What are we eating for chicken? Let me hold my baby. I know he's sleeping. He's stinking. They're not listening to me anyway, so I figure I'll show you off. That's the only reason they came to church. Look at his little outfit. Y'all better shut the front door. It's fine. Look at his little suspenders and everything. Oh, he just growled at me. I got you, buddy. Bless him. Watch. Last thought right here. It just hit me. Watch this. It's not that God wants you to forget the last blessing. But he doesn't want you to be so focused on the last blessing that you don't get to experience the new blessing.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
He's got so much in store for you tomorrow.
That's right.
But if you get hung up on the day, husbands and wives, you better stop your fighting over stupidity. You better start trying to figure this thing out and working towards a goal for the kingdom, not for yourself. This ain't about you. Give it, baby. Give it to him. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Give it to him. His praise will continually be in your mouth. Whew, Can you wait till tomorrow? I almost can't wait. I pray that you're not able to sleep tonight because the anticipation and the expectation of what God has for you tomorrow. I hope, Father, I pray over them right now that the Spirit of God would arrest them. Amen. And they would seek your face.
Yes.
Stop being so tied up on yesterday and what happened. God's got something new for you tomorrow. I don't know what else I can do for you. Can I offer you a drink of my water? You go thirst again, but I'll give you a drink. No, I probably won't give you a drink of mine. You want him back? She said she didn't care. Huh? Oh, I'm not going to throw him. She said, don't throw him. Don't throw him. But see, y'all came to church and got a blessing day you didn't know you was going to get. Y'all got to see another miracle.
That's right.
Yes, you did. Man, I had to go on a stupid appointment. I was so mad. I couldn't be at the hospital. I was mad. Trust me, this customer going to have a long talk. I was driving down the road, and I was thinking about the baby boy getting ready to be born. I said, God, this just ain't fair. This ain't fair. I want to be there for my grandson. He don't know me.
Not yet.
So the Holy Spirit said, well, let's just call your daughter and pray for her. I said, well, hey, Siri, call Megan. So we prayed on the way to the appointment. Guys, I hope you got something, man. I would hate to think that you lived the rest of your days off of yesterday's provision. I'm not saying that you're going to go to hell for that. That's not, it ain't even nowhere in the text. I just don't want you to lose your taste and your zeal for God.
Yeah.
Because it can happen.
Yep.
It can happen. This is why a lot of people fall away. Man, you can't get them out to church. You can't get them to miss 5 minutes of service. Because they need something so bad. And something shows up, Miss Kim, and fills their life with a joy unspeakable and full of His glory. And the next thing you know, they got hung up on yesterday's manna and the taste begin to wane. And now, oh, it's just a Sunday. It's just one day. Oh, it was just one word. Oh, it was just one drink. Oh, it was just one text. Oh, it was just one peek. Oh, it was.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, don't do that to yourself. God's got an abundance waiting for you.